He's my rock, sword and shield. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's a lily of the valley. He's my bride and my morning star. No difference what they say, I'm going down on my knees and pray. 'Cause I'm gonna wait on Jesus. I believe I'll wait
on Jesus.
I believe I'll
wait on Jesus.
Oh, oh,
Jesus.
He's my rock, my sword and shield. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's my lily of the valley. He's my bride and my morning star. It makes no difference what they say, I'm going down on my knees and pray. 'Cause I'm gonna
wait on Jesus.
I believe I'll
wait on Jesus.
Anybody waiting?
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Oh, I can tell you one thing.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
I like what the Bible says.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
He may not come.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
When you want him to.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
But he's always.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Always on time.
I'm waiting on Jesus.
Tell your neighbor, you may as well wait on him. Come on, tell that other neighbor, he may not come when you want him, but he'll sure enough be there on time. Let's give our male chorus a hand for an outstanding job on this morning. Amen. This is our annual Men's Day, and we thank God for the women, but amen, the men ought to be at the lead. Amen. That's according to the Bible. We thank God for brothers who are willing to step up to the plate and lead. Let us all stand this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Job chapter 1. If you have your Bible on your cell phone, go there. Amen. Job chapter 1. And we want to look at verses 7 through 11, like the store, 7-Eleven. Amen. Job chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, there you will find these words. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man? One that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor as you take your seats and say, neighbor, pastor is going to talk about the right man for the job. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of this thy people, that we will be reminded that you are God, you are omnipotent, you've got all power, you are omniscient, you know everything, you are omnipresent, you're everywhere without being absent from anywhere. And for this we thank you, for this we give you praise. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Today we honor the men of our church who serve faithfully and dutifully in the work of kingdom building. We honor those who consider saving souls their top priority and who count Christ as their co-conspirator in this battle against sin. And it is in their honor that this preach word comes today out of the book of Job. It takes a special Christian man to endure the trials of life and to persevere for Christ no matter what the cost. It takes a special man to heed the clarion call to discipleship and to carry out his duties as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So today I want to talk to us for just a few moments about the right man for the job. To begin, we peek into God's interview room. And many of you didn't know that God had an interview room, but we get a look into God's interview room. In this room, you'll get an earful of the confidence Satan boasts and the power that God has. This morning, you're privy to a conversation between God and Satan. Satan has exhausted all challenges. He enters into God's presence, flaunting, fearless, and full of himself. He believes there is nobody on the radar capable of holding up the banner of God. I want y'all to take a good look at the devil this morning. He's beaten up every foe. He has subdued every saint with sin. Amen. I said he subdued every saint with sin. He's trampled all who claim to be righteous. It was a bloodbath. No man could stand up to his test. Nobody could stand his ground. None could resist his tricks and his temptations. Not even me, your pastor. Satan enters with his chest poked out. I want you to take a good look at the devil as he enters into the presence of God. And so the Lord questions the devil. Devil, where have you been? He responds, I've been everywhere. I've looked in every church and every cathedral. I've been to Johnson Temple and Mount Olive. I've been to New Willow and, yes, Pleasant Hill. I've been to every ministry meeting. I've examined every mother of every church. I've checked out all of your preachers. I've looked at every prayer warrior. I've messed up every missionary. I've damaged every deacon. There is no more melody in the musician's heart. I've muted their lips and they have retired their instruments. The devil says, I've touched everybody. I've been up and down in this earth and I don't think I've missed a one. Amen. I've come to report to you, God, that they all have sinned and come short of your glory. Is there anybody here who, if you had to testify right now, you would have to testify, yes, that old devil even got and messed with me. Can't y'all see him standing there in the presence of the Almighty, marinating in evil? I've told y'all before that he's a bad somebody, that even if you take the D off of his name, he's still a force to contend with. Do I have a witness today? And we find him here talking to God in a tone that is reeking with arrogance. He says, in essence, I've successfully touched and detoured everybody you've let me touch. Do you have anybody else? Oh, my, what arrogance as he stands before God. He says, God, I done touched them all. I come by to find out, do you have another one for me to put to the test? Is there anybody else? Maybe there's another one you want me to try out. Surely you've got somebody who can stand my test. There must be a Christian somewhere, amen, whose faith will not falter. Maybe you just haven't chosen the right man for the job. Well, when the devil finally shuts up, heaven is filled with the grip of uncanny silence and an eerie stillness. I imagine in my sanctified imagination that God must have looked at the devil with his powerful eyes that went through that devil like an X-ray. I imagine that lightning must have flashed and thunder must have rolled as if celestial armies were at war. And the Lord said unto Satan, now watch this. Look at what God says to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? I don't know about y'all, but I love God and I know God loves me. But amen, if I could counsel God right through here, I would tell God, amen, please don't put my name on that list. Amen. Come on, am I by myself? Am I the only one who would have to tell God, God, I don't think I'm strong enough. God, amen, I'm striving to be everything you want me to be, but please don't put my name on the list of folk for the devil to mess with. But can I encourage you today, if God puts your name there, that suggests that he ain't gonna leave you by yourself. Oh my, I know some folk who've been in trouble and turmoil, and if you could testify, you would have to admit, yes, Pastor, a lot of the trouble I got in was my own fault. But is there anybody that can shout right through here and say that even though God pointed me out to the devil and the devil got on my trail, at the end of the day, God was still standing there to keep me and protect me. You ought to give God some praise. God says, in essence, to the devil, I got somebody, and I want you to know he's the right man for the job. As Satan considered Job, he glowed with what you might call radioactive excitement. A shiver of delight swept along his spine as he prepared for another conquest. He was ready. He knew he was about to give another notch in his satanic belt. He knew that he was about to get another trophy on his mantelpiece of destroyed lives. Like a blood-sucking vampire, Satan prepared himself to suck the joy out of Job's life. Amen. He savored the thought of conquest. His imps waited and gathered like old friends on the porch with the solo cups that, amen, Brother Jackson talked about a few Sundays ago. Y'all know the devil and his buddies, they were excited about this opportunity to mess with this brother that God had pointed out. But little did the devil know that he was about to suffer defeat. Yeah. Oh my, because God had truly pointed out the right man for the job. Now, brothers, there are four qualities that make Job the right man for the job. And I want to talk about those four qualities, and I want to encourage all of the men in the house and the young men in the house and even the boys in the house to look at these qualities that Job possessed and say, Lord, help me to make those qualities a part of who I am. Amen. Let's take a look at Job, because Job, y'all, is going to win this test. Amen. Number one, he was prosperous. Secondly, he was pious. Thirdly, he was passionate. And then fourthly, we find that this brother is patient. Prosperous, pious, patient, and passionate. Say those with me. He was prosperous, pious, patient, and passionate. Let's look at Job. The message of Job is spiritually profitable. It reminds us or at least it ought to remind us, of the Apostle Paul's divinely inspired New Testament philosophy that says all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. It leaves us with the deepest kind of hope for the darkest nights ahead. It reminds us that when life seems to unravel, we must not yield to despair, because truly there is a bright side somewhere. Yeah. Embedded in Job's sacred pages is a message of hope to those who are caught up in hopeless situations. There's a message of hope for those who have faced rapid-fire tragedy in their lives and have exchanged their faith for fear. It reminds us that no matter how hopeless or helpless our situation, God is able to restore you, watch this, 100-fold. It teaches us that though your friendships may falter, your marriage may be on the rocks, your health may fail, if you're alive, there is still hope. The book of Job has a word for winter, spring, summer, and fall. This book of Job has a word for the young and the old. It has a word for the rich and the poor. It has a word for the rooted and the grounded. And even those whose faith is on the incubator and on life support. If you're still breathing this morning, I've come by to tell you that there's still hope. If there is still blood flowing in your veins, I don't care how the situation looks. I don't care what the doctors have said. I don't care about the folk who've walked out and left you by yourself. You feel like giving up and throwing in the towel. But I've come by to encourage you to look at Brother Job. And I've come by to tell you that if you still have breath in your body, there is still hope. Come on, encourage somebody. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, I'm looking at you. There is still hope. But there's something else that this lesson ought to teach us, because as we look at Job's life hanging the balance, the message he gives us is don't get too nestled in your comfortable house or too secure in your securities. Because let me tell you, your life can change in the twinkling of an eye. I don't remember the name of the writer who wrote the song, but he was right. The writer who wrote the song, he said, time is filled with swift transition. Where are my folk who know stuff can change up on you in a moment? People can change up on you in a moment. Come on, and sometimes it's the folk that you trusted. It's the folk that you helped the most. It's the folk that you listen to. They're the ones lying on you. They're the ones talking about you. Folk will change on you in a minute. Your money can get funny and your change can get strange. But Job gives us hope to know that if God puts you on the list, God will stay right there with you to see you through your problem, to see you through your sickness, to see you through your trouble. Give him praise in this place. The first thing we said is that Job was prosperous. Now, you don't get this kind of prosperity. And I guess I need to pause here parenthetically and tell you, because, you know, we look sometimes at some people who are prosperous. They don't go to church. They don't pray. They don't serve God. But they seem to have everything you wish you had. But let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, there is a kind of prosperity that looks good, but if God ain't in it, it won't last. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody ought to thank him right through there. Amen. If you're going to be prosperous like Job, let me tell you, you've got to have a relationship with your father. If you're going to be, well, how prosperous was it? Well, this man from Uz, he was so blessed that the Bible says he had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels. He had 500 yoke of oxen. He had 500 she-asses and a very great household. And let me tell you, I just believe in my sanctified imagination that Job must have been a tither. I said I believe in my sanctified imagination that Job must have been a tither. Why do you say it, Pastor? I say it because when I look at the book says that if you want God to open a window and pour you out a blessing, that you won't have room to receive. God lays out some things in Malachi chapter 3 that you got to do if you want those kinds of blessings. Come on, where are my folk who know that he blesses those who bless him? So number one, he was prosperous. But then secondly, we said that he is pious. In every stratum of life, the genuinely innocent are a distinct minority. We are all blemished and harbor some secret sin. A man is either God's passion or God's problem. Oh my, most of us fall into the latter category. Do I have a witness? We are problem people. We need from God more than we give to God. Few of us could pass a polygraph test when it comes to living holy and living right. We're simply not there yet. Well, I can't speak for you. Let me speak. I'm simply not there yet. Amen. I'm striving. I'm trying. Amen. I'm trying not, amen, to say some things that I say when folk upset me. And sometimes I don't say it, but I think it. And Jesus said in a real sense that if you think it, you probably ought to go on and say it. But amen, amen, amen. God is still working on me. That's all I'm trying to tell you. But Job stands as the solitary exception. He's larger than life. He took care of God's business. He knew if he took care of God's business, he knew that God would take care of his business. Y'all, can I tell you what Job had? Job had character. Character is like the foundation of a house. You know, when you drive up to a beautiful house, you don't see the foundation. You're not looking, amen, for the foundation. You want to look at the splendor of the building. You want to look at the windows and the roof and all of that, amen. But the real strength of a beautiful building or a beautiful house is the foundation. And that's what character is like. It's like a foundation, amen. The true character is found beneath the surface. You can't see it from the outside, but it's there. It's what you are when the lights go out. Say, somebody. I said it's what you are when the lights go out. Character is revealed when everything else is exposed. There's a British writer named Thomas Macaulay, and he said this. He said that the measure of a man's character is what he would do if he knew he would never be caught. What a man stands for isn't everything. What he falls for counts too. Dr. King said that a man that is not willing to stand for something will fall for anything. Where are my brothers who made up in your mind, I'm willing to stand, Pastor. I'm willing to stand for righteousness. Where are my sisters in the house who don't mind saying, I'm willing to stand. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. I'm going to stand on the word of God. Is there anybody who knows that his word will be a foundation in your life? Is there anybody who knows that when sinking sand is all around you, if you've got a word from God, you can stand. Let the bottom fall out. But if you've got the word of God, you can stand. And Job stood like the rock of Gibraltar. A person's character lies in every outer word he speaks, beneath the facades, beneath the Sunday persona, beneath the hard handshakes and the spontaneous smiles when all the props are pulled away and all you have left is God. That's when the world sees you for who you really are. That's why I made it a part of our church motto that we're real people. You know, I don't know the kind of people you've dealt with in your life, but in my life, it took me a while to discover that some folk who I thought were real were really phony. I don't know about the kind of folk you've had to deal with, but in my life, I've had to deal with some folk who I thought were one thing only to find out they were something else. Oh, but I'm so glad that God, if you walk with God, if you get in the Word and let the Word get in you, the Word will teach you, you may as well go on and be real. Because do you know what? At the end of the day, folk may not know, but how many of you know that God in his omniscience, he knows. Y'all getting quiet on me. Tell your neighbor, you may as well be real. Y'all, you see, Job knew that God was all he needed. In his mind, Job knew that fame was fleeting. He knew that riches are subject to fly away from you. Only God and character can stand the tenuous test of time. When everything else is stripped away, it's your faith that keeps you buoyant. Amen. You got to have faith. When Job's family was killed almost gangster style. Woo, any of y'all ever had the devil to interrupt your life? Come on. How many of y'all know the devil is a gangster? He is a gangster. Oh, my, the devil is, he's a gangster. He's a gangster. He'll come in just when everything is going good and mess up everything. That devil is a gangster. Well, he came into Job's family, massacred his family gangland style. This man stood like an East Texas oak tree. He stood like some of the palm trees down in New Orleans when Katrina came through there. Everything, stuff was blown away, but those palm trees were still standing there, and that's how Job stood. He stood solid. When the woman of his dreams, the one who had promised to stick by him through thick and thin, the woman that had stood there and said, I'm going to be here with you for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, she advised her husband, man, your situation is so bad that you ought to just go on and curse God and die. But even when his baby, even when his boo, amen, couldn't stand up, Job stood flat-footed and said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Amen. Job said, I'm going to wait until my change comes. Come on, where are my folk who are willing to stand like Job? You've got to stand. You've got to stand. He was prosperous. He was pious. But then thirdly, we see that he was passionate. Somebody say, calm down, Pastor. Amen. He knew it was impossible to serve a holy God while living a hellish life. I'm trying to give us some things, brothers, that will help us. Amen. If we want to be prosperous, if we want to be pious and passionate and patient and all of that, if we want to be able to stand like Job, we've got to also be passionate. We've got to understand that living for God is more than just what we do on Sunday. Because when you're passionate for God, and this it bothers me a lot of times, folk come to me and say, Pastor, I've been called to preach, and I want to know when can I preach my trial sermon? And I'm going to say, you ain't got to wait on me to preach your trial sermon. You can start in your house. There's some folk in your house who need to know that Jesus saves. There's some neighbors, amen. You know, a lot of folk, they want to get up here and be streaming and be on the radio and all that stuff. But the real preaching is when we get out of this building. Do I have any witnesses here? That's why we talk about the universal priesthood of all believers, which says that in a real sense, we're all preachers. We all got a story to tell. And you may not know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. You may not know all the books of the Bible, but you know how he picked you up. You know how he turned you around. You know how he took you off the bottle. You know how he helped you put the drugs down. Tell your story. Is there anybody here who has a story to tell? And you can be passionate about it because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was nobody but God who brought you out. It was nobody but God who kept you. It was nobody but God that healed your body when you were sick.
and didn't know how you were gonna get well, you ought to be passionate about it and tell your story. Somebody said,